This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
This is iFanboy Special Edition, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. Hello, welcome to iFanboy Special Edition, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and with me is Josh Flanagan.
I got a bad feeling about this.
And Ron Richards.
Well, hello, ladies.
And let's let's get it out of the way now. Ron Richards is an employee of Marvel Entertainment. His opinions are his own and do not reflect Marvel Entertainment or the Walt Disney Corporation.
That is indeed the case. This is my opinion and has nothing to do with any privileged information that I've gotten from the Walt Disney Company.
And Ron Richards should not be taken after meals.
Any sense of seriousness or credibility.
If you experience any digestion or erectile dysfunctions, Ron Richards was not responsible.
Some side effects of listening to Ron Richards include.
Well, don't get me started.
So we're back. This is as we've been talking about all these Star Wars films since The Force Awakens happened, and also simultaneously this being our last show of the year, we're back to talk about Star Wars. And actually, we're going to get a little bit of a break, I think. They said, what, no more Star Wars until 2022? Is that what they said?
Yeah, I think they're taking... They need a breather, I believe.
Movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Movies,
they got to figure out what they're going to do.
Listen, they can take a break and just ride the wave of Baby Yoda for at least another year. I'm sorry. The child.
Spoiler warning. This is a review show. There'll be spoilers for Star Wars. Not only The Rise of Skywalker, but clearly also The Mandalorian. So if you haven't listen to or watch those shows, you're on your own. So this is the final chapter in the Skywalker saga. This is Star Wars chapter 9.
Episode 9.
Whatever. It's late. It's the last show of the year.
We're in our 40s.
J.J. Abrams directed it. He's back to direct. It was co-written by J.J. Abrams and Chris Terrio.
Based on a story from Colin Trevorrow, right?
Well, he was originally the director of this film.
He got a story credit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guild rules are complicated. And this features all the returning cast members from the trilogy. Daisy Ridley, Adam Driver, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, Anthony Daniels, Domhnall Gleeson, and some new faces we'll get to in a second.
And the new Chewbacca.
And Chewbacca. Well...
The new guy.
I don't recognize the new guy.
They handed it off. They handed the baton off. Well, of course, obviously, because Peter Mayhew passed away. But
yeah, I will say. I mean, just to, the whole time I was like, he's not skinny. He's not lanky enough. Like he's just. I guess if he's like middle aged Chewbacca, that makes sense.
But he also let's talk about Chewbacca. He moved very young, as opposed like the original Chewbacca movement was more stiff. And this was like a more like yoga Chewbacca. Maybe in his middle age, Chewbacca got into like yoga and flexibility.
He's working on his flexibility and maneuverability, right? Yeah.
That's not unheard of. Like,
sure.
He was forced to take better care of himself, right. And as a result, actually ended up where he was before that. You can't fault him for that.
Many doctor was like, you're 250 years old. You got to start working on your flexibility.
I really think there's a whole Wookiee yoga program here that Lucasfilm is missing out on that really on YouTube could do really well.
All right, so this after we've returned to J.J. Abrams after the very controversial second chapter of this trilogy, The Last Jedi, which was directed by Rian Johnson. Ron and I saw this together. This is the first time Ron and I saw a Star Wars movie together since Revenge of the Sith.
Since episode three.
So
that so 14 years?
It's been a long journey.
Christ. 14 years ago, man, we stood outside the Ziegfeld five times.
I saw Phantom Menace with Josh, and I saw Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith with Ron.
Yep.
And it's been a long journey.
It's been a long, long journey. I feel like the subtitle of this movie as The Rise of Skywalker could have been The Erasing of Rian Johnson.
And thank God for that.
I've never seen because so I was on a media blackout. So yeah. I've done.
Oh,
no...
let's talk about that before we get into the film itself. Our media blackout status.
Sure. So I saw the first trailer, and once the first trailer came out, that was the trailer where Rey jumped over the TIE fighter. And once I saw that trailer, then I went on full media blackout and did not see another trailer, did not see any clips, did not read any press, did not know that Richard E. Grant was in the movie. That was a delightful surprise. and knew nothing going in until the movie started today.
Josh, you don't go hard at, like Ron and I do for media blackout.
No, I don't think I watched I saw the teaser. I don't think I watched anything after that because I don't remember watching it. And I didn't know anything about the movie at all. Like, I knew J.J. Abrams was doing it. That's about all I knew. I didn't know who wrote it or anything like that. And I didn't. Yeah. It's basically, I mean, mostly, like, I was watching. I was like, oh, I don't know anything about this.
Which is kind of okay. It's glorious. I love that. Connor, how about you?
So I was on full media blackout. I didn't see the teaser. And I go to a lot of films, and I'm always, like, on edge that the trailer's going to pop up. And I made it until the very last movie that I saw this year before Star Wars, which was Knives Out, where they played the trailer.
Ironic.
And I shut my eyes, and I plugged my ears, and I started making noises in my head, and I managed to block out everything except for Palpatine's voice. So then I was like, oh, well, fuck, Palpatine's in the movie. So that was ruined. And then, which would have been a nice surprise not knowing that. And then some very well-meaning members of the fanboy community spoiled the Wedge appearance, so that I knew that going in.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had no idea about that.
I did know about that. I can't say it bothered me.
Oh, I was gonna say, how'd you know about that? But I realized that people probably bait you with Wedge content a lot, huh?
No, I mean, maybe I saw the simplest.
Well,
it was
posted into our iFanboy patron Facebook page. And again, I'm not mad at them. They're very excited for us because they know we love Wedge. Just that I didn't know about it. It would have been, I would have had the reaction that you had, Ron, when it happened.
I think I did my best. So Connor and I were sitting, our respective significant others were in between us. So, and I wanted, because if I sat next to him, sure, I would have been reacting the entire movie. And I'm pretty sure, like, only I only leaned over and looked over a couple of times and only intently once. And that was once Wedge hit the screen.
Yeah. So I knew that was coming, and Palpatine was spoiled for me. And everything else, I didn't see any imagery other than a flash here and there before you can change the channel when it comes on TV or whatever. But I didn't see any trailers. I didn't know really what was happening, which was good. I mean, you knew things like Lando was in it. You knew that kind of stuff from the poster.
All right, let's get to the movie.
Okay,
we got that established.
I will say, aside from Richard E. Grant, the greatest thing about this movie was Oscar Isaac in that like scarf, rolled up sleeves, gloves look that he had on that planet with the skiffs, where they had the skiff chase. Oscar Isaac is just a handsome man.
Well, you had his roguishness turned to 11.
It was funny because I was talking to my wife as we were analyzing on the subway, and let's get that out of the way. I liked it. I mostly liked it. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I was maybe more aware of the erasing of Rian Johnson than I needed to be. And as we were talking about it, I thought that the, you know, the through line of the story was pretty straight and narrow with just a couple of little detours, not as dramatic as The Last Jedi had, where that you had these wide detours that were just distracting and really broke up the linear of the movie. But I did notice there was a, you know, B plot or C plot of trying to bring Poe Dameron down closer to the underground than to the angelic hero pilot perfection purity position that he was in The Force Awakens.
Well, just giving him some story, some backstory.
Exactly. I mean,
we didn't really know anything about him still after two films. So
yeah, no, agreed. Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. And it was the only distraction, didn't help the main story in any way. But gave us a little more personality to Oscar Isaac, which is never, he oozes personality. So personally, he didn't even need the backstory. He just oozed personality.
So. I loved it.
Loved it.
I loved it. I love it more the more I talk about it and think about it. It obviously wasn't perfect. There were some things that didn't necessarily work, but you know, and at the end of our Last Jedi review, I said I hope JJ comes back and writes the ship, and he did everything I hoped he would do. I don't think it reached the soaring heights of The Force Awakens, but I thought it got really close. And
yeah,
as a wrap up of 42 years, I thought they did a really good job of bringing all the characters. I mean, you know, if you think about it, everyone was in this movie. All the old characters were in this one movie, and that was really great. I mean, there were things I would have done maybe a little differently. Things I would like done a little differently. Things I would like more of, less of, but. Overall, I loved this movie, and I'm very excited to see it again.
Josh, counterpoint?
I hated it. I was annoyed the entire time. In every other scene, I said, why are they doing this? Why are they fighting their way to go find the thing and then lose it and get destroyed? And the droid knows, but he can't say anything because there's another difficulty here for no reason at all. Why did a bunch of ships pop out from nowhere to help them? Just million ships that Lando got.
They went off and got them.
I have I have a thought about that, but we'll get to it. But
it was like the Deus Ex Machina factory. The first third of it, every time anybody spoke, it was terrible dialogue. I was like, who the hell wrote this? And where's Lawrence Kasdan? And I was like, oh, it's the guy who wrote all the awful DC movies. I see.
Who was it?
Chris Terrio. He wrote Superman Dawn of Justice. He wrote the Justice League movie.
Argo. He won an Oscar for that.
Yeah, that was a really good movie. But that's like Rian Johnson. He's done one good movie. I think the... just like the last movie, the only thing I really liked out of it was the Rey and Kylo Ren stuff, where like there's sort of her journey towards the Jedi. And I thought there was a real sense of, I don't know. I hate it's probably strong, but like overall, like I liked things and didn't like things. When I walked out, I was not feeling good about it. I was very compelled by to find out what was going to happen with Rey. Because are they going to make a tough choice here? Are they going to so that was kind of interesting.
Well, I mean, it's funny because I agree with you on agree with both of you. It's funny because, I mean, once again, the three of us, one is on the far left, one is on the far right, and one of us is in the middle. You know, I walked out with a positive feeling and more of a sense of relief, I think. And just now, you know, the consternation and the kind of the agonizing over this stuff is, I kind of felt a little free now. But I was on the subway with my wife talking about it, and I was saying, I was like, geez, how many times are you going to make us think someone we love is dead or gone forever and then bring them back 20 minutes later? You know, like that was a bit of a yo-yo that isn't normally a Star Wars thing.
The Chewbacca thing, for example, that's another good, like they blew up the ship and then it wasn't him, but there was no reason for it or explanation.
Well,
it was
playing with our expectations that they were going to be killing off, you know, all the
I know,
old
but
people,
you have to do something clever to at least make me think that It was just like, nope, look over here, he's fine, and we just
that's the thing is that I thought that the scene with Rey and Kylo Ren and them using the Force and controlling the ship and all that sort of stuff, and then the explosion of lightning out of Rey was that was really great, and then it had weight, and like, and when they said Chewie's gone, like I got teared up, I got upset because I'm like, oh, it was like that book all over again. Remember that book? And I was just like, oh, God.
That was a stronger choice.
And I almost rather they just kept Chewie dead than just be like, oh no, he's fine.
No, I would have been really upset because I wouldn't like the way they did it. So I was very happy when he was revealed to be. I totally bought into it. So I loved the reveal of it.
Yeah, but
I
then
loved that it was tied into her being on the knife's edge of the dark side. I thought that worked really well.
And then the same thing with 3PO, where it's like he's got to make the sacrifice to give them the information he needs. And they're like, oh, he can't, you know, and like, what? R2's didn't back him up. Astromech storage is horrible. And then just like fast forward, R2 just boop and reboots him. And it's just like, it doesn't matter.
Well, what do you guys think you're watching? You're watching a Star Wars movie. Everything's going to turn out okay in the end. That's what happens.
No, it doesn't, though.
Especially the last chapter of the saga. Everyone's going to be okay. So the C-3PO moment worked really well for me because he was nothing but a bad joke machine up until that point, so that when he has this heroic turn where he makes a serious moment where he's going to give up his personality, his memories, and he wants a moment to look at all of his friends, was really heartfelt for a character I was really getting sick of.
Yeah.
And I thought it worked out really well, and then of course you have to save him at the end. You can't. Star Wars is at the end of the day, it's an all ages fable. Everything has to turn out okay at the end. It's a hero's journey.
Tell that to Han Solo.
Well, he died, but he sacrificed himself because the actor doesn't want to do it anymore. They didn't want to kill Han Solo.
All right. Anyway, well, let's get back to the film now. But so
and also he came back.
I am conflicted with the use of Palpatine.
Yep.
Just
where
because,
the hell did he come from? Why is that a thing?
Exactly, because that's the thing, is that like what I think these three movies lacked, and honestly, it all goes back to the Rian Johnson detour.
Well, he fucked it up, and they salvaged it for me the best they could possibly do.
No, I agree. I totally agree. But the thing that the Force Awakens to Last Jedi to Rise of Skywalker lacked is a cohesive, constant threat. And I guess that's supposed to be Kylo Ren.
But not really, because he's the Darth Vader character.
Right. No, but Darth Vader was the constant threat throughout the whole thing. And we only got, you know, we got a glimmer of the Emperor. No mention of the Emperor in Star Wars. A glimmery hologram of the Emperor and Empire. And then the Emperor is a major role in Jedi. Right. And I was really thinking about this because, you know, Force Awakens, there's no, you know, Snoke is a glimmery hologram. Then we see Snoke and he gets dispatched, you know, in the second one.
Snoke didn't matter. Snoke was a complete waste of time.
Snoke never mattered. Never.
Right, and that's part of the problem with.
Yeah.
And I don't want to relitigate The Last Jedi because I'm really sick of talking about it.
But it's hard. But it's hard not to, because so much of this movie was meant to undo that, basically.
Because it took the whole story off track. I was talking to somebody else I know, and they were saying the worst thing about The Last Jedi was that it wasn't part two of a story.
Yeah, exactly.
It basically started over. It was like a second part one. And while watching this movie, I thought to myself, other than Luke's death, The Last Jedi had no bearing on this film.
Yep.
Like there's no connective tissue between The Force Awakens and.
Well, no, there is because it's.
There's very little. If you've never seen The Last Jedi, you can watch this movie.
No. I will disagree. I will say that the Kylo Rey stuff, you know, developed, and they introduced the teleporting, you know, like that kind of force power, which I liked, which got even more, you know, expanded on in this movie. So it did establish that. Now here I'm in defending The Last Jedi, but honestly, what happened at the Battle of Crait, when they put out the call and nobody came back, sets up the finale of here.
Sure,
and,
but you also don't need it. It didn't. You don't need it.
Fair, but don't say that it didn't drive anything into this movie. Don't forget, we got Rose. You know, she was such a huge factor in this movie.
To agree with you, but I'm also afraid to agree with you on that because I don't have a problem with the character in any
neither
way.
Neither do I. I'm trolling in that regard.
I know. When she was in this, it was like she has nothing to do. There's no reason for her to be here.
She was Finn in the last movie.
Well, it's not that. And then you had like Finn gets a girlfriend sort of for no reason.
I think we need to fast forward to the very, very end when they're celebrating the victory and everybody's hugging and kissing and all that sort of stuff. And then you see Finn's new friend, and she's sitting next to Lando, who turns to her and goes, "Well, where are you from?" And she's like, "I don't know." And he goes, "Well, let's find out together." And what did that mean? Was he hitting on her? Was he her father?
I loved it because it could mean anything you want. It's a Rorschach. It's a Rorschach sheet. Anyone can you can apply any meaning to that scene. It was terrific.
No, it was great.
It was great.
Like, I threw my hands up and I was like, "That's ridiculous."
No, it was one of the best scenes in the whole movie.
Lando being Lando.
Yeah, it was great.
You truly belong here amongst the clouds.
Oh.
We loved it. That was the first thing we talked about after the movie was over, Ron and I. It was a great scene.
I did though think, I was like, wow, he's much better at being Lando than Donald Glover. And I liked watching Donald Glover as Lando. Yep. But I was like, no, he's really good at being Lando, ironically.
So I didn't see the Palpatine twist coming with Rey. I thought that was a great twist because everyone was expecting her to be a Skywalker, especially with the title of the film.
Yeah.
So having her be the granddaughter of Palpatine was cool for me because I didn't see it coming at all.
And thinking about it in the mythology, it does make sense. And like, it is kind of like the yin to the yang. And we're so trained to think that Skywalker, 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 and they're the only people with any Force stuff and the balance of the Force and stuff like that. But when you think about what Palpatine did in the prequels and in the original trilogy, he's a major player in the Force side of it. And you know, even though we never knew he had any offspring, I thought that twist of her being a Palpatine. And then, but the thing to Josh's point then, to hear Luke or whomever say like, oh yeah, we always knew. We knew as soon as we met you, but we saw the good in you and we trained you. I don't know about that. I mean, that's a little, you know, after the fact kind of making it work. But
by the way, Ron, do you have a contact for me? Because I have a pitch for Papa Palpatine, and it's about him growing, you know, him like having a kid and like, put away your shoes.
So let's get back to Palpatine, actually, because we got derailed in that conversation. So to me, it makes sense because, again, they have to salvage not having a villain through line when clearly Kylo Ren's story is to be redeemed. That was clear from The Force Awakens. So Rian Johnson dispatches with Snoke. He never introduces anyone else, so they have to do something. And they can't introduce a new character in the third film because then you've got to learn about someone totally new. So they have to go back to Palpatine. It's a problem-solving exercise.
You're going
to
tell me that he survived what happened in Jedi?
Sure. It doesn't matter. These are all magical beings.
I can buy that, but here's the deal. I have to think, and this is the problem that I have with the entire thing, it feels like they didn't plan any of this out.
Yeah.
Like, what show? Oh, Lost. It feels like they started it, they did a thing, and then they gave it to another guy. Like, they passed the yo-yo to him, and he went, okay, it's all this stuff. And they're all like, crap, how are we going to get back? It's amazing to me that this multi-billion-dollar enterprise didn't have a story department who went boom, boom, boom. These are the things that happen.
Which is funny because speaking from professional experience and knowledge, or whatever, is that they have one of the most buttoned up, tightly monitored story department in terms of what can be told and what can't be told and positioning and all that sort of stuff. But for some reason, I think a part of it is that, you know, the fact that when he did The Force Awakens, you know, and this movie, they're both bad robot productions. And J.J. Abrams went and did it on Cloverfield Lane and didn't, you know, he wasn't part of Lucasfilm. And to a certain degree, they just kind of let him do it because he's J.J. Abrams. And then as opposed to dictating what story should be, and you get Clone Wars and Rebels and like all that sort of stuff that Dave Filoni and all those guys are pushing, they had to see what he did and then react to it and make it work in the larger universe. And that's the problem. I gotta admit, right now I do, and I doubt he'll see it, or maybe he will or whatever, but I feel bad for Lucas. Lucas has just got to be like agonizing over this because this is his like his story, and it just got mangled.
I don't know that it got mangled.
Yeah,
I really don't. It was really fun. It was an adventure, and it felt like a nice capper.
Oh, it was fun.
A really nice capper to the whole trilogy. I was really happy to see how much extra footage of Leia they had to incorporate her into the film. Yep. Clearly, from the way it was paced out, she was going to be the main, you know, legacy character in this one. So to have her at least be big part of the first act was really nice.
Yeah, I thought she worked really well in her role and then, you know, and how they handled her passing and all that stuff.
Why did that kill her?
Because why did it kill Luke? Because it used so much. I mean,
like, I know. What these
movies explored was the toll of like mega force usage takes on people, you know,
except for the Emperor.
except for the Emperor, right?
Well, he was cloned. It was to me, it was like no different than Captain America getting put in a machine and Red Skull pressing a button. It comes back in Captain America Rebirth. It's like you can't. That's not the point of the story. And if you harp on that, then you're done.
I have several favorite things, and one of them is Palpatine on a giant robotic arm.
Well, the thing about that, I hate to make the example, but this was basically Cameron Hodge in the end of Extinction Agenda and the X-Men in the early 1990s, where he became so cyborgy, whatever, that it was just the head on top of this kind of serpentine neck attached to a machine. And I was like, oh, I've seen that before. Like, it was just the design was very similar.
Sooner, though. I was like, yeah. I would have liked everything with him a lot more if I knew he was on the end of a giant arm.
Yeah,
the whole time.
Like, right, what else?
It was very classic sci-fi.
It was very classic sci-fi. Yeah.
I'm not. I got a tear in my eye when Wedge showed up, and it was like a frame and a half. I was like, oh, it's. And half of my shtick with him is you know largely ironic, but it actually turned into actual emotion, which was weird.
That's great.
You had him for one take, Lawson.
Yeah, but he nails it.
My idea for him was, and I wish we'd seen him more, and I wish we'd seen him at the end, but yeah. My idea for him was he came in, the battle was won, and he went off to win the next battle. Like, somewhere else in the galaxy, there's a battle that Wedge needs to be involved in because it needs to be won.
Exactly.
If you need to win a battle, you get Wedge.
And what's great is that he's on it for like nanosecond, and I knew the haircut, everything like that's Wedge.
It was not. And I like that actually. And then finally, like the very last thing that happened in the movie, I thought was really good. The naming,
that was great.
The rename, and that I got a feeling it was the same thing when the first time I watched Force Awakens. You know, my favorite part of it was Rey gets the lightsaber in her hand, you know, after Finn gets the, you know, looks like he's not going to get the shit kicked out of him, but he does. And then she holds it up and then she's, you know, tough, and she can go toe to toe with Kylo Ren. I really like her. I think she's excellent. I think
Daisy Ridley's terrific in this role.
She's really watchable, and she's super proud of her calves. And I think that's important. This she's always going to show those calves off no matter what. No, but like, I don't know. There's something, I don't know. Like, she was just really, really excellent casting because I bought it. I bought her insecurity. And then, I mean, it sort of like follows being famous over this time, like her insecurity to then a lot of bravado, but then some of it is underpinned by insecurity and like, well, shit, am I bad or am I good? Or like, there's all that stuff was played really well. And she's like, I don't know, like, she's obviously very beautiful and pretty, but she wasn't played as a sex symbol at all, you know, and just a really interesting looking and sounding and acting person. I think it's one, you know, it's almost Mark Hamill. Like, Mark Hamill's an odd choice, you know, for sort of everything that he did, but he made that work. In fact, she probably made it work better. So I liked that at the beginning of the movie, you know, you could see she'd come a long way, and she was better with the Force in this than, like, you know, Obi-Wan was in episode one. She was, you know, and I thought that was good.
She's much more powerful.
And worked. I didn't think that was out of nowhere like I did so much of the rest of the movie.
Well, there's a whole theme of choosing your family and choosing your, you know, who your people are. You know, she's not Palpatine's daughter, just granddaughter, just because they're born that way. She's got this whole new family.
Are you going to wear that to the Senate?
I really liked the flashback to young Luke and Leia training.
Yeah, that was cool.
Because it almost felt like a glimpse into those books that we read in the 90s. You know, like, we never get to see Leia using the Force, and to see them sort of sparring, even though you got a bit of that Rogue One-ish, you know, face. I thought Luke's young face worked really well. I thought Leia's worked less well. Just that moment of seeing them sparring as younger people was a nice thing, because Leia sort of got the short shrift of that story.
That was really cool. I like that. I mean,
it kind of makes me think of what could have been. You know, I mean, like, I still think the best sort of not Star Wars stuff I ever read is those Zahn novels, is the aftermath of what happens. And like, really kind of like, it would have been fun to follow what Luke and Leia and Han did, you know, more immediately afterwards. Now, when they shot these movies the way they did, it makes sense. But that was sort of the story that I feel like we always wanted.
Right. Well, yeah, they got it.
After Jedi. It's true. But
we can go read those again.
It's true. It's true. Never a more compelling book have I read, or a series of books.
So the things I didn't like were the J.J. Abrams cavalcade of guest stars from his previous works.
Yep.
I get it, Greg Grunberg. He was in Force Awakens. He's in everything JJ does, fine. Carrie Russell, you never saw her face, even though her voice was instantly recognizable. I mean, you saw her eyes, but you didn't see her full face.
I couldn't tell. I was trying to figure out who it was, and because I didn't. And then at the end, I looked at her and went, oh. Yeah, of course.
But I really liked her flirtiness with Poe. I thought that were
I thought that was really good. Yeah, that was
at the end where he
was
like,
"It was the thing that where like she hated him, angry, instant turn. Nothing happened.
It wasn't
like
an instant turn, man. That was sparks from the very beginning.
I mean, know that, but she went from the posing and hating him. Nothing happened to change it to the I'm with you now.
Yeah,
nothing.
I thought that was a nice arc there.
U-turn is not an arc.
Okay, well, I thought that differently. I don't like that. Power they introduced in the last movie about, you know, Rey and I like Rey and Kylo being able to talk over the, you know, galaxies, but like then it becomes a strange thing of
teleporting physical objects.
Where and what are the rules? Like,
yeah,
he can now grab things from her and they can hand objects back and forth. And
well, the thing is that they seeded that in Last Jedi, because when one of them was wet, remember, and then the other one was wet, or there was water in the thing. Like, I don't know. I mean, the fact that something was going on between the two of them with so much force energy manifested in them as offspring, fine, I'll take a new aspect of the force. I liked it.
My problem was you never knew when it was happening, when it wasn't. So when they're fighting on.
Keeps you on your toes.
But not in a good way. When they're fighting on the planet where the Death Stars crashed, I thought they were doing the Force thing again, but he was there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it throws all the stakes off, because I'm like, why are they?
Yeah,
just...
they needed a shot of him landing at that spot, and so you knew he was there. I do.
Every time he showed
that,
up, I thought, oh, he's doing the thing again. Yeah. And but it wasn't. It was real. So if I had known they were really fighting, it would have been a different set of stakes for me as a viewer than thinking they were doing the fake Force fighting again.
Yeah.
I don't mind it as a communication device as in the last film. I didn't like it as a thing where you can pass objects back and forth.
I agree with that, exactly.
I didn't like that.
What did you think of them kissing?
I thought it made sense.
That made sense, yeah.
I was like,
and it also made sense that Ben died.
Right? I was fine with that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, totally.
You could redeem him, but there's still a very big problem with that.
Well, because it can't, like, he can't show up to the celebration and be like, hi, guys. You know, like, it's
exactly,
he's too
far
gone. Yeah.
It's the same Darth way Vader, Vader thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it, you know, Finn liked her, Poe liked her, everyone liked her. Obviously, why not? She's, you know, gorgeous, but...
Those calves.
She only really had the strange chemistry with Kylo. So it made sense that they went that way. And they had to introduce other love... partners for the other ones, even if they were just hinted at, because otherwise they're just running around like puppies after her the entire movie. They're doing that in the first act, where they're sort of jockeying for her attention. And so they had to do something to get rid of it. So they had to bring back Poe's ex, and then they brought the new girl in for Finn, and because she's going off in another direction.
Why were Finn and Poe testy with each other up until the point that they decided that they wouldn't be anymore?
They weren't really testy. They were just peacocking for Rey.
Yeah, I think they're peacocking for Rey, and for me, it gave me a sense of because one of the questions that came up after seeing was how much time passed between Last Jedi and this, and you know, and usually with Star Wars movies, the precedent has been like about 3 to 5 years, you know, like kind of like except for Last Jedi broke that, where it picks up, you know, almost immediately after The Force Awakens. But I did get the sense through Rey training with Leia, but then also just through the, you know, like the same way that you got the feeling with Han and Luke and everybody, that they'd been through some shit since the last movie.
Yeah, and they mentioned some things.
Yeah,
some battles and things.
Yeah, and so the testiness I picked up on is just them being like in the same ship for years, doing stuff and running missions and all this sort of stuff, and just getting, you know, kind of frustrated and all. So that actually helped.
As the pressure mounts, they're basically losing the fight, so they're getting the pressure's cracking them.
I will say, I made this comment to Connor and he dismissed it, but Josh will make it to you. With the when Lando and Chewie arrive with the whole galaxy of ships with them, I did ask the question that didn't someone, because both movies were being made similar at the same time, didn't someone who had read the Endgame script read this script and say, you guys have the same beat? Because like literally it was the on your left scene from Endgame, but with spaceships. And honestly, I think this one was more effective.
I only dismissed it because I don't remember that scene from Endgame. Because
how do you not remember that scene from Endgame?
I didn't like that movie very much, and I've forgotten all about it.
I've seen it a lot, as you can imagine.
I think it worked better in this film, which is what Josh just said.
It worked better in this because of.
I didn't say that. I don't know why it happened. Well, yeah, I don't know what event happened in the universe.
They talked about it twice. How they were setting it up.
Chewie and Lando went off and they sent a message. I don't know.
The last thing I heard was that everybody's lost hope. No one's coming to help us. Right. Then they go in against these terrible odds. They're about to lose, and then everybody shows up. So listen,
hang on. When they took off from the planet for the battle, we watch it. When they take off for the battle, the Falcon goes one way and everyone else goes another way.
I know.
Because they said that two legends of the original war were going to ask for help, and people would listen to them.
They're going to listen to Lando. Hey, everybody. This is Lando Calrissian of Cod City. We're going to need your help. here are the coordinates of a very difficult journey, but come with us.
Now, we all have to get there at the same time, like three Fords crossing the finish line.
Well, they had to gather together so they could follow the path in, so they would all come at the same time.
Yeah,
it all tracked.
The sheer logistics of coordinating that many ships across the galaxy, light speed be damned.
I'm trying to go out to dinner with five people.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
To me, it was very similar to that scene in Dunkirk where you pull back and all the ships are coming. That was the most emotional I got the entire movie was when all the ships appeared.
Well, if you remembered Endgame, that was also the most emotional moment of Endgame. But
I don't remember Endgame very well.
Bizarre.
Interestingly, our theater, the biggest reaction, and you tell me if I'm crazy, Ron, was when what's his name said, "I'm the spy."
Yes,
that was the biggest reaction of the whole fucking movie.
Come out of nowhere. And then they killed him.
After the film, we talked about it. It should have been Richard E. Grant's character the entire time. He was
how they didn't cast Richard E. Grant from The Force Awakens and have him be the Tarkin throughout all these things. Yeah. Richard E. Grant was such genius casting and it brought gravitas to the Imperial side of it. I'm already a huge Richard E. Grant fan. I had no idea he was in the movie. I giggled when I first saw him, and then he just played it so well.
He did play it really well.
It was great. He harkened back
to the old trilogy of those are the kind of actors they had playing Imperial officers. Right. And so he felt Motti terrific.
I found Hux to be very funny and entertaining the whole time, but in comparison to a person who actually had like threat against them, and he just kept getting more Weasley.
He was in over his head.
Yeah. But again, it was like, I'm the spy.
It worked for me because I've had a corporate project destroyed by someone who only wants to see his rival lose.
Oh my God.
That was exactly what he did. He only was a spy because he hated Pride. So to me, it's like, and it was a project involving Disney. So it made sense to me that there was an internal strife amongst executives, and that's how that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was incredibly fun for me. I liked all the old Jedi talking to Rey at the end to buck her up. I didn't hear all the voices, but I saw him in the credits.
So.
Yeah, and I'm looking him up here, and there's a lot. They have voices from the cartoon. They have, I heard Liam Neeson, and obviously Frank Oz.
Samuel Jackson,
Ewan McGregor, Alec Guinness. Hayden Christensen was in there. And then a bunch of the characters from the cartoons were in there, too. I just thought that worked really well as a way to sort of tie it all together. And also, I thought the Han Solo scene was terrific. I really did. I thought that was great.
Big surprise. Didn't expect to see that.
I didn't expect it at all.
But now to play the other side of the coin of it is that kicked off a parade of old people.
In that you
get Han Solo and then you cut to Ak-Chu and Luke appears and gives Rey the pep talk and then we see Lando. I just would have liked a little more breathing room before that. It just felt like, okay, we got to get all these guys out. And I understand the role that they have, like Han helped Ben get reclaimed and do what he had to do. And Luke said, and I will say I got choked up when Luke pulled out the X-Wing and scene by scene, it worked. But when you pull back and look at it from the timeline, it just felt very kind of like, oh, we got to do this. And it was a drumbeat that I felt that was being forced down my throat.
This Luke felt much more in line with Luke than the last Luke.
Who was agreed.
Clearly out of character. I was almost hoping they would do – I thought there would be more.
They could have brought him back. They brought back Palpatine.
Wasn't cloned with the secret Sith cloning program. Once Carrie Fisher sadly died, I figured they would lean more on Luke again because clearly they were idea was that the Harrison Ford scene was probably meant to be a Leia scene.
They
were probably meant to have her be the one who turned him.
That was what she was going to do. Yeah, that's a good
point. Excellent producer leverage to get him to come in, though.
And I'm sure
I think you're right.
Harrison Ford would come back to help Carrie Fisher out, you know. So,
by the way, it went very quickly, but I just want to applaud Connor's commitment to buying into the Sith cloning program. They never 100%. Once, yeah,
they like, said it. They said it.
Yeah. So
they said it in the movie.
But yeah, I don't know, man. Richard E. Grant, so good, so good. I was nice to see some Ewoks. That was a nice little twist of the night.
It was wicked.
I like that. I like that little fucker who takes apart droid heads. I like that guy.
Oh, he was great.
Cool. That was cool.
It was like, yeah. It was Rizzo the Rat, but whatever. It was cool.
It was Rizzo the Rat,
basically. And yeah. I have no problem with that.
They brought back the weird Maz Lupita Nyong'o character just to remind you that she existed.
Oh yeah. That Wookiee metal thing was bullshit. I mean, he should have gotten one, sure, but what the hell? What's that for?
Yeah,
that was weird. I thought she was gonna grab him and kiss his face. I would have liked that better.
Yeah, I thought that was gonna happen too.
That
yeah.
should have the metal. I was like, what?
I thought it was Leia's metal.
Did you see there was a wide shot at the end, and Chewie is showing 3PO the metal, continuing the ongoing saga of Chewie 3PO conversations in the background. Oh. Which are my favorite moments of the movies, like the end of Jedi when like Luke and Leia talking, when Han and Leia are talking on Endor, and in the background you just see Chewie and 3PO having an intense conversation.
Love it. My favorite thing is seeing a recognizable actor go, are they going to have anything to do? Nope.
Monahan.
That was he was distracting. The audience laughed when he showed up on screen. That was a bad choice.
Yeah.
Listen, if you want your friend to be in the film, fine. Put him in a mask. Lin-Manuel Miranda was a stormtrooper. You can do that with whoever you want.
Yep.
You know, that's the kind of stuff that I sort of winced at. But ultimately, I mean, he killed Greg Grunberg's character, so that was a surprise.
Yeah.
Overall, so this is it for the Skywalkers.
Do I think of the number? Are you going to make me do that?
Not yet. In a minute, you can start thinking about it now. So this is the end for the saga.
Oh, we have to do our order now, don't we?
And we'll have to do them in order. So,
okay.
How do we feel overall? This trilogy honored.
This trilogy unfortunately fell short, and it's all because of The Last Jedi. I know we're going back to putting The Last Jedi on trial and stuff like that, but that is the real blip in it. It's just the lack of vision. It should have been one vision across all three movies.
Yeah. JJ should have done all three movies. He really should have done all three movies.
And they should have had to turn in an outline to say what that was going to be. Because track record, no, you show your work this
because
time, buddy.
You know, originally, people can say, well, there were three different directors, but the fact of the matter is George was running the show for all three. It was one person's vision for all three.
Listen, Richard Marquand was saying action, but he had very little vision.
He looked over and George gave him a nod and he said action.
He may as well have had Frank Oz's hand up his ass.
So, to me, I think Josh is absolutely astute. It should have been someone's complete vision of the story because it really went off the rails.
Yeah,
I won't actually lay everything at the feet.
No, that's fine. I will.
Last Jedi or whatever the fuck it is. I think that The Force Awakens is a really entertaining, fun movie, but I think that there are a lot of things in it that needed to be paid off in a really good way. And I mean, it would have helped if it was one thing all the way through. But in comparison now, for me, this is my answer is obviously going to be different than Connor's, but going backwards in time, then that is less interesting because of how it ended. There's all these sort of mysteries that are there as the sake of mysteries and don't really mean anything. And they had to pay them off in this weird pacing because of the fact that they had a completely different guy do the middle movie who didn't want to make the kind of movie that the guy who made the first and the third movie made. Mm-hmm. It's just like, and to me, that makes the whole cards fall down.
But yeah, the math doesn't add up. Yes. That's the problem. Yeah.
It retroactively makes the ones that came before it less interesting. Where oddly enough, this is sort of neither here nor there, but like I just watched Rogue One again, which I did not like. And I think we came on the show. I watched it like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, "That's really good. I enjoyed it." So who knows? I mean, I'm willing to, my opinion changes over time or whatever. I have not seen The Last Jedi again, and I don't plan to. Yeah, I don't know. But for right now, and it's funny because I know we're doing this show, and I was like, I want to do this show immediately after I see it, so I remember my thoughts and everything. But I've also remembered that when my thoughts are very pointed, sometimes that's a short term thing.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
Well, yeah, the thing is, I mean, like Connor and I literally saw it, less than 12 hours ago. So like, eight hours ago or so. So it's still very fresh. And like, I keep saying, like, a lot of my coworkers, like, what'd you think? I'm like, oh, there's a lot to unpack. Like, and someone asked me like, well, thumbs up or thumbs down or like in between. And I said, right now I'm like in between, tilting towards thumbs up. You know, so like I didn't hate it, like, you know, or have major problems and break it down with Last Jedi. But at the same time, it was hard for me to overcome, you know, because the thing is like I joke about it. But this is, I mean, this story and the original trilogy is the closest, like, we were born in 77. Like, this is the closest thing to religion I have.
I believe, right? It's true.
It's true. Like, yeah, it's not a joke. Like, it's literally like, and like, we're laughing, making jokes about Richard Marquand, but the amount of knowledge we have about the original trilogy, the books that we poured into it, and just everything that we've invested into it. And it's almost like, I almost feel detached emotionally from this movie because I know that nothing can ever fill in the void. Will, right.
If you hate these movies, it doesn't take away from the first three. It doesn't
take away agreed.
Any of that experience. To me, all I'm looking for these films is are they fun? Are they enjoyable? Do I get it? Is the cast charming? Do they use the original characters in a fun way? To me, the strength of this film was that they were all together, and what happened in the first film was they all played off each other so well, mm-hmm. that, and we lost that in the second film. So then the first act of this film here is basically Rey, Finn, and Poe on a bunch of missions together, and that was great because they are all together.
They had to go get the broadcast energy transmitter.
And Poe wasn't really with them in the first film, so we had the added third element of him, and Oscar Isaac is terrific, and so I just loved them working well together. And
that was the strength of this, and that's what the last movie lacked. And actually, I found myself coming out of this movie kind of sad that they're ending this, because I want to see more adventures of the three of them. Yeah. You know, like the last shot of the three of them hugging and Poe, Rey, Finn, Chewie, 3PO, R2, BB-8, in the X-Wing and in the Millennium Falcon. Like, I want to see more of that.
Let's talk real quick before we wrap up. The character who got the biggest short shrift in this whole trilogy is R2-D2.
Wait, Gentilis.
R2-D2. Oh. Yeah. Agreed.
He got BB-8 off screen to basically hang out at the base and not do anything, and that was a bummer.
Yeah.
And then he got replaced by Ronnie James Dio the robot. When he said Dio, I was like, does anybody else think that's funny? Because that shit's funny.
And then, of course, the fucking Porgs had to make one more appearance.
Like, of course they had to do that.
God,
yeah.
God damn it.
You know what? That was one thing in the movie that actually had purpose, because I was like, okay, I know where she is then.
Sure, but yeah. I was just like, oh, fucking Porgs, of course.
Those don't even come close to bother. So what I think is interesting here is that, like I said, there were a couple of moments where I had an actual emotional reaction where it really worked with me. And I can't fake that. I can't let things, other things that are bothering me don't affect that. It's a real thing. You can't – it's just – it is an organic thing that happens. And to me, it's like there just wasn't much of that in this whole trilogy. And there's reasons. Like, I constantly go back to the other. It's just not made for me anymore. And also, you've got all these different generations of people now, people who grew up with Star Wars, people who were old when Star Wars, remember going to see Star Wars originally. There's us, we lived through the time where nobody talked about Star Wars until Kevin Smith talked about Star Wars, and then everybody talked about Star Wars. Then there's people who are now in their 30s who watched, the prequels when they were 11, and they have a whole different thing.
And they're crazy.
Well, it's just everybody's coming from a different place.
Of course. That's just a generational saga. That's why it's...
Yeah, but here's the thing. So difficult. In that, my initial thought was, well, you can't make everybody happy doing that. Like, you just can't. But then I was thinking about the Marvel movies, and I was like, well, that isn't even more generations of people, and they seem to make pretty much everybody happy.
Well, they're not building off 40 years of movie story.
No, they're building off 70 years of comic book
but
story.
But no one cares about that. Also, if you're talking about who got the short shrift, it's the prequel people. Other than some audio cues,
they had it coming.
Well, obviously they're lunatics, but other than some audio cues, there's not like any prequel characters showed up in the movie.
Idea.
It's not like Captain Tanaka got a cameo in the final battle like everybody else did,
Rick Olay. Well, they're all it's like the Irishman, but with Rick Olay.
the planet is city.
I'm just glad that really what it's missing was that when Palpatine was talking about the Sith cloning process, he could say, look, we're harvesting midichlorians. And then I would have walked out.
Burn this theater down.
So that's an at least that didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you
yeah.
see those little vials all around him? The midichlorian vials?
Yeah.
That's what those were.
The same midichlorian on the side. They've little Gillette razor tools to analyze it.
That's what I wanted to see more of. Little tubes of Harry's.
I like that there was a lot of Sith at the end. It wasn't that stupid two Sith thing from the prequels. That's never made sense.
What I really did actually like was the idea that Palpatine was the sum total of all Siths and yeah. Rey was the sum total of all Jedi. And like, and that's what the conflict was, and really brings the question now is that like, so does Rey still have powers, or does that all float away when she was brought back to life? And like, is basically the whole Force and everything gone?
No, or clearly she's a Jedi. She made her own yellow lightsaber at the end. And she's...
Right. Yeah, true. That's a good point. So then.
Yellow, I thought. What's yellow mean? I don't know.
Nothing. It's just the color of the stone.
No, but I thought that. See, it's hard now to figure out which stuff matters and which isn't. Because I was thinking the whole time, I was like, there's only supposed to be two, right. Which doesn't make sense at all. And also, here's a genuine question: in Palpatine's underground dark stadium,
yeah.
At first there were all the voices around, and I was like, is this like in that scene in the Two Towers? You know, where they go underground to get all the green dead people.
Oh, you thought maybe the ghosts would show up?
I thought the voices and the, you know, all that was. And then it was like, are there people in the stands?
Yeah, there were.
Who the hell were they?
The Sith.
All right.
That's what I mean. That's what I was talking about. I like that there was like thousands of Sith that were.
What do they do? Where have they been? What's going on with them? What's the deal there?
They were getting trained.
I guess. Always two there are. or 200,000.
That's better. That's more scary.
Like, and then I was like, wait, so they're gonna have to fight all these guys? No, that's I don't know. It's just, there's a lot left on the table.
All right, so do we want to do ratings first or rankings first? Ratings.
Let's do ratings. Ratings.
Scale of 1 to 5.
1 to 5. All right. What do we normally do?
We do 1 to 5.
Okay.
So you do the number that you.
I know you've been gone a long time. We did a T-shirt.
Right, okay, ratings.
Ratings.
Josh, go first.
Why do I have to go first?
Because yours number's the lowest. We're building up.
2.75.
Whoa!
Wow.
I told you I didn't like it.
I'm going to go 3.75. I can't go full. I'm just, I don't have it in me to go full 4.
4.75.
Wow. Yeah. All right. There's the range. All right, so now this is the fun part. And Josh, you get to go first. Rankings.
Yeah, now that you've got your new rankings.
The nine trilogy movies plus
Rogue One and Solo.
There's too many. I have to write this down now.
I'll go.
All right, Connor, you go.
A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, Force Awakens, The Rise of Skywalker, Solo, Rogue One, The Last Jedi, and then the prequels it doesn't really matter what number they fall in.
Okay, I can beat that.
You can beat that.
I'm going to go Star Wars, Empire, Jedi, Force Awakens, Rogue One, Rise of Skywalker, Revenge of the Sith.
Whoa!
Ooh, Solo and Last Jedi are real tough. I'll go Last Jedi, Solo, Episode 1, Episode 2.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Fascinating.
Star Wars, Empire, Jedi.
Everyone says Star Wars is number one. I thought that was controversial.
I used to be an Empire person, but as time has gone on, yep. What do I enjoy the most?
I think as you get older, you appreciate these sort of...
It's the first one. I can't. Yeah. I have to.
The wonder. Plus, it's self-contained. It is a full story.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yep. You don't. And need it's the also other the. Parts.
It's also the one that we all still reference and hearken to the most.
Yep.
Even more than you know, like it's just, which is why in this ranking, you know, Episode 1 probably has a higher rating than it would, but it's because it's you know memory based. I'm gonna go 4, 5, 6, 7. Rogue One, Solo, this one.
Wow.
Last Jedi, Phantom Menace, Sith, Attack of the Clones.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't even know what's wow about that because it's
you're
a
both crazy.
List.
I think you're both crazy.
Ron, ours is almost very similar, other than swapping like solo and then.
And mine and Josh's, yours and I are very similar towards the top, and mine and Josh's are similar towards the bottom.
Yeah.
I think three was great. I think three was everything I wanted from the prequels. And
I've only seen it once.
You just called it great.
I mean, in context of the other two.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I only saw it the night I saw it in the theater.
I'm glad that we're not doing any more of these because we might not allow you back on the show now.
Oh, we'll do the next one in 2022. Because you guys can't quit this job.
I can't quit you. I don't want your life. I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
All right, so that's it for the Star Wars saga. 42 years in the making.
I will say, looking back on it, I really miss when Star Wars came out in May, because this coming out right before Christmas is just a scheduling
rough.
Nightmare.
I agree.
It's terrible. I mean, I get it. It's like an end of the year celebration, and now you've got weeks of kids being home from school to go, but man.
Yeah, and mom and dad can now wait till kids go back to school again.
Well, I'll be seeing it again very soon. I've got family who wants to see it.
Yeah, I'm going to see it Monday before Christmas. I'm taking my nieces to see it, so who knows how I feel after a second viewing. But yeah.
If one of my kids wants to go see it, I will go with them, but that's not going to happen.
What are the odds of that? Yeah.
I don't know. Henry went to go see The Last Jedi with me when he was three, and now he won't go, so who knows?
Well, yeah, he's discerning.
No, he's not.
All right, so that's the Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker discussion. If you want to talk about it, you can go to fanboy.com. There'll be a post for this show. And also just tweet at us or Facebook or Instagram. Those are all the places we get hit from every side. And it's important to note, and of course no one's listening now, but it's important to note, we had three totally different viewpoints on this film.
Yeah.
So when you say iFanboy said this, it's not accurate.
I will say that when all the ships came, when the cavalry came with Lando and Chewie, and I will say the music swell got me.
The music is great. John Williams did it.
Yeah,
the music was great.
Yeah, that was. I mean, like that just it was a 1-2 punch. It was just that was very emotional. Honestly, I can't believe this is all over.
You can find us there, and also since this is our last show of the year, you can go back. You can listen to our all media show where the three of us talked about some of our favorite things. I'm going to say it three times because apparently people didn't hear that at the beginning of the show. Some of our favorite things for the year in media, as well as our other shows, are all at fanboy.com. Josh and I will be back with the Big Week podcast on January 12th. Until then, I guess.
I'll find something else to watch.
Until then, I'm Connor.
I'm Ron.
I'm Josh. Ron's rusty. He hasn't been doing this for a while.
I didn't know when I went anymore. I don't know. Ha ha ha.